Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our word of God for our devotion this morning is the first lesson as we begin our first lessons from Luke's letter, the Acts of the Apostles. This morning we read in the 5th chapter, 12th verse, and then beginning at verse 17. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the chief priests and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Dear fellow redeemed, stones do not a prison make, or iron bars a cell. So wrote the 17th century English poet Richard Lovelace in his poem, To Althea from Prison. The point that Lovelace was making to his sweetheart was that external barriers cannot bind the thoughts of the heart and mind. As far as he was concerned, even though he was in prison, he was still a free man, because you can't bind what's inside a person's heart. I'm applying these words this morning to those apostles whom the Sanhedrin, or the Sadducees, had imprisoned for their insistence on teaching and preaching the name of Jesus. And I apply them to us. They also apply to us, even though we haven't been arrested yet for being Christians. But even if someone does put stone walls around us or iron bars, we're still free in Christ. Nobody can keep us from Christ or Christ from us, because our Savior, the kingdom of God, is within us. Arrest was nothing new for Peter and John. The Sanhedrin had had them arrested already once before. Recall when they healed the man who had been begging outside of the temple. They were preaching, or they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. We know later that the Apostle Paul and Silas, remember, they were put into jail in Philippi because of their faithful testimony about Christ. Stone walls and iron bars could not imprison the disciples' hearts and minds, and they may not imprison ours. They prayed to Christ, they prayed to God, they sang hymns to his name, and they were free. This is a good lesson for us, for our comfort, and for our assurance as we face days of continued persecution of Christians, not yet here anyway to this point, but if it ever happens, or even for the ways we are persecuted, even when we see what is happening around us, we know this for sure. Men cannot stop the preaching of Christ. And that's true for two reasons. The message is too powerful, and the messengers are too fearless. There are always people, there always have been and always will be people who want to stop the message of Christ. Some of them are outside of the visible church. They make no bones about not believing in Jesus and hating people who do. Some of them, though, are within visible Christianity. We might call them modern-day Sadducees. The Sadducees denied the resurrection, any resurrection from the dead. They denied the existence of angels. They denied the existence, really, of any spiritual world. They were the secularists, the rationalists of their day. And sadly, within visible Christianity today, there are those modern Sadducees who deny the physical resurrection of Christ from the dead, deny the miracles of Jesus, deny that salvation is by faith alone in Christ. But interestingly, both the enemies outside the church and inside the church just cannot abide us people who believe in God and confess Him, who believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, who believe that Jesus did miracles and that His body, literally, is not in the grave. And so just as these Sadducees here became jealous and angry that these men were preaching these things and more people were listening to them, they were believing them, what they were saying. And they just could not abide that. And so they had the disciples thrown into prison. The power of the message. Sees to it that that message cannot be stopped. They preached the risen Christ, and more people believed it. Jesus' disciples showed that power of the message visibly in doing many miracles, healing people and driving evil spirits out of people. Remember, the New Testament canon hadn't been put together yet. And nobody saw Jesus alive after his resurrection to come to believe in him. Only people who believed in him before his death and resurrection saw him. So Jesus gave to his disciples the authority to do miracles, to manifest his authority through them, to show that they were acting in his name and by the power of his message. We don't do that today through miracles of healing or driving out evil spirits because we have the canon of the Bible. We have that inspired word of God that the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles. Preaching God's word, thy strong word that bespeaks us righteous. That's our authority. That is the power of the message that you and I have. And that message cannot be stopped because of that power. That message still and always will work till the end of time. Men cannot stop the preaching of Christ. Many times, for many years in history, the enemies of the church, both outside and in, have gone to great lengths to try to stop that message. In the past, and even some places now, they have made Christianity illegal. They persecute Christians, they take away all their property, they close and repurpose their churches, they do all kinds of things, they even executed Christians, and in some places even are doing that today. What has all that accomplished? It has only accomplished Christians' increased determination to preach the message of Christ, to spread the church around the world by sharing the message of the risen and victorious Savior. You can encircle Christians with stone walls, and you can put them in cages of iron bars, real and metaphysical, or metaphorical. But that is not going to stop the message. Because the power is in the Word of God. And God's Word will always accomplish the purpose He has for it. You and I always, no matter what happens, will be free in Christ. Free to pray to our God, free to sing His praises, free to encourage one another, even if we should ever be locked up. The message is too powerful. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our message is Jesus Christ is the living one, the Lord and Savior of the world. The message is just too powerful. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. But men cannot stop the preaching of Christ, not only because the message is too powerful, but also because the messengers are too fearless. The disciples, when they were in prison, still had that powerful message. And God said, I'm not going to leave them there, just like he said, I'm not going to leave Paul and Silas there. And so God sent an angel of the Lord, to miraculously release them from prison. They were in a public jail. You know, we don't want to really skip over that little sentence too quickly. In other words, they didn't arrest them secretly. People knew that they had arrested these disciples. That sent a message that we're not going to stand for the preaching of this Jesus or this message that he has somehow risen from the dead. But it was from that public jail that the disciples received their release by the angel. And the word angel means messenger. The fearless messengers of God who speak his word. And the word that this angel spoke to the disciples was, go, stand in the temple courts, and tell the people the full message of this new life. And when they got released from jail, what did they immediately do? Fearlessly, they went right back to the temple and began teaching again, began preaching again. Quite a different story, isn't it, than on Easter night when they were hiding because they were afraid. But because of Pentecost, because of the power of the message that they had, because of the protection of God's holy angels, these men were fearless, not being afraid about being arrested or thrown into prison again. In fact, this fearlessness got them arrested again. The Sanhedrin arrested them again, and this time took them to the entire Sanhedrin, that 70 Jewish council in Jerusalem. And the high priest really couldn't believe it. I told you not to do that. I told you to stop preaching Christ and that resurrection in that name. And Peter and the other apostles, the other disciples, spoke in words that have become quite familiar to us. We all remember them from catechism. We hear them often. We must obey God rather than men. So Peter held up the mirror of the law to the Sanhedrin and said, we're not going to obey you because you're telling us to do something that goes against God's will. And then Peter proceeded to remind them that indeed, yes, they were guilty of Christ's blood because they were responsible for hanging him on a tree of the cross. But Peter also preached to them Christ's repentance and forgiveness. Peter preached to them hoping that that word of God would work on their hearts. Fearlessly, Peter says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This is something that Bill mentioned in Bible class this morning about inspiration and about the Holy Spirit being with us and giving us the words to speak. These men were fearless because they knew the Holy Spirit agreed with them. They knew that they and the Holy Spirit had the same word of God and that God would give them protection and strength to preach that word so that they would not be afraid. That was in part the special gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. They had the Spirit already as believers, but God gave them this, an extra measure of the Spirit to give them that fearlessness, that boldness, because they knew that the Holy Spirit would vouch for them, that he agreed with their message, a message of repentance and forgiveness in the Prince, in Jesus Christ. The disciples were fearless because the word was powerful, because God's angels were watching over them, and because the Holy Spirit gave them the word to speak and gave them the courage to speak it. We must be careful when we apply those words. We must obey God rather than men, so that we don't apply them to something that maybe we just don't like, or maybe something that we just don't agree with. And then we might say, well, we must obey God rather than men, when God really has not told us to do or not do something. We must obey God rather than men only when man tells us to do something that God clearly forbids as a sin. We must obey God rather than men only when God commands us to do something specific. Love. Preach the gospel. Share that message of Jesus Christ, no matter what the threat. Then we must obey God rather than men. You and I may be very bold because of those reasons that I mentioned to continue to preach God, to be fearless and confident and bold, like Stephen, who shortly after this, because of his preaching of the risen Christ, God gave him a vision of heaven, and then the Jews stoned him to death. Or think of the Apostle Paul. We talked about it a little while ago during Lent, where when he was facing certain death in prison, he said, "I know that my God will deliver me from the evil of men," even before he was executed. Think also of Martin Luther, who stood before the secular and ecclesiastical power of the world and under the threat of death, fearlessly continued to preach God's word as he had learned it from the Holy Scriptures. Men cannot stop the preaching of Christ. Its messengers are too fearless. Our fearlessness doesn't come from our certainty that there's not going to be a bad reaction to us or to the message. It comes from the power of the message, from the protection of the angels, from the agreement of the Holy Scripture as we share God's word. God will give us the Holy Spirit as we obey him in faith. Our fearlessness comes from knowing that even stone walls and iron bars cannot keep us from our Savior or him from us. He is our Prince and Savior, who by his cross gives us the forgiveness of our sins, who by his word calls us to repentance and to faith, so that he lives in our hearts and in our minds. Amen.